o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
We are 1 week away from November 1 when the NRL player market will officially go bananas, MG. And it's pretty fruity today as we look at it. There's a bit going on.
Well, there is. The carousel is a-moving. The merry-go-round has started. It's starting to go, pick up some speed. And you can imagine in a week's time, this is going to go off the Richter.
I can't wait. I'm actually, that will be Brent Reed's Christmas. I'm looking forward to it. We've got to talk about the cricket. Australia kicked off their T20 World Cup campaign over the weekend. Not convincing, mind you, but they got the W. So we'll...
listening to their coach, he thought it was convincing.
I've got some audio of Justin Langer trying to polish a turd. He has tried to polish a turd. We'll play that for you a bit later. And of course, MG, we've got to have a look back at the weekend outside of rugby league to see if you were paying attention to the world of sport. But off the top,
what's cracking?
Reid Marnie is the hottest house on the street right now, MG. He's the hottest house on the street. He's that two-story thing that's just had a complete renovation and everybody is interested.
Yeah, he's got the twin garage. He's got the massive pool out the back. He's got ducted air going all through upstairs and downstairs. And he's the house I want to have because he's in hot demand, all right. And the longer he doesn't put pen to paper with Parramatta, the longer you think he might be contemplating a move north.
So for those not aware, Reid Marnie, the Parramatta hooker who was injured at the end of the season, he is contracted till the end of 2022. That means come November 1, he is able to sign anywhere. Now, Parramatta haven't obviously agreed to a deal. You would think he would be a top two priority along with Clint Gutherson. Brent Reed has told us that the Dolphins look at Reid Marnie, sensibly so, as an option. We saw a report last week that the Broncos are also interested in Reid Marnie's services. And then today, MG, Paul Crawley writes in the Daily Telegraph that the Bulldogs would like to sign Mr. Marnie.
It's getting intriguing, isn't it? And look, I'm putting my Reid Marnie hat on.
Your helmet, your little helmet.
My headgear. And I'm looking at all the options out there for me, and I'm thinking this. I'm thinking that I'm going to see out my contract with the Eels next year, which will give me a big chance to go out a winner with the Parramatta Eels in a grand final winning competition. Who knows? Then I'm heading to the new franchise. I'm going to the Dolphins as one of their marquee signings.
So if you had four contracts, if each of those clubs presented Reid Marnie with a contract, that's the path you'd advise him to take. See how you deal with the Eels? Because you're right, that presents the best possible chance of winning a comp next year, doesn't it?
Well, I think so. And this new club, the Dolphins, are intriguing as well because they've got so much money getting thrown at them. There's going to be third-party deals left, right and centre. They're going to be flush with money. Obviously, they want to win early, so they've got to assemble a big team. I note, reading online this morning that my Wayne Bennett is thinking about who the marquee player will be out of Munster and Ponga. I know I said on Friday that I'd think Munster would be a lay-down Mazaire, but I'm not quite sure at the moment. Over the weekend, I think things have changed. The goalposts have changed a bit, and I think they might go in hard and heavy for Kalyn Ponga.
Well, they've landed a big jersey sponsor in Adventure Kings. So, as you say, the money is coming in. Okay, so you would recommend Reid Marnie see out the contract with the Eels for 2022 and then sign a big money deal to become a part of the Dolphins. The other element for the Dogs is the Luke Brooks speculation will not go away. Now, late last week, there was reports that he could be headed to the Knights to replace Mitchell Pearce, who might be headed to the Super League. Tim Sheens came out over the weekend and said, the club as well, said he's not going anywhere. It's not fair on this young man to continue speculating about his future. And yet here we are on Monday with another report suggesting that the Dogs could be interested in Luke Brooks.
Death, taxes, and speaking of Luke Brooks on a Monday, that's one thing is for sure in life. Look, it's again, man, like until we hear it straight from his mouth that he's staying, well, I don't know. I said the middle of last year, even though he did get the Tigers Player of the Year somewhat, controversially, he's still had a pretty good year from stat-wise. Yeah. He just gets hammered. He's a bit like Mitchell Pearce. We spoke about Mitchell Pearce last week, and he's, every time we play for the Roosters, the Blues, now the Knights, every time they'd lose, it was his fault. So much maligned, I think. Mm. And Luke Brooks is much maligned as well. And, look, I don't know where he's going to end up, but I know that that means if the Doggies want to sign him, they've got to get rid of a few players. And at the moment, it looks like on the outer Bulldog land is Allen, Kotrick, and Flanagan. So, and we don't know about Luke Thompson, who's, you know, we're going to speak about him in a minute about the vaccination, but that's another big, big signing who could be gone from the kennel. So, and the other one, the other intriguing one that came up this morning in that same column from Paul Crawley was the fact that Madison is on the outer at Parramatta.
Well, this is, and this is worth discussing as well, because we know Regan Campbell-Gillard has come out and said, I'm not taking my player option. Hey, Dolphins, come at me. They'll be interested in Reid Marnie as a hooker. And now Ryan Madison has been deemed, according to Paul Crawley in the Daily Telegraph, surplus to requirements, essentially, at the Eels. And yet they don't have Gutho locked down as yet. Murata Niokora has strong interest from the Dragons. And all of a sudden, this Eels team could look very bare.
I think the kind of the nomadic gun for hire type style of career he's set out for himself might come back to bite him on the bum a bit, Madison, because clubs realise that he's just there for a short term to get money and move on. You want to start seeing some type of loyalty from players, and at the moment, Madison just makes it clear that he's here to do a job and then get on with it. So that's probably why he's on the outer a bit at Parramatta when they want to lock down guys who want to be there. I'm not sure that he wants to be there long term. In fact, I don't think he wants to be anywhere long term. He just wants to go in and play and then get out.
In Ryan Madison's defence, he needs to eat a lot of protein to maintain that physique. And protein's not cheap, MG.
Very, especially from Body Science, which is very cheap. Oh, you should be, you're going the wrong one. Get Pico. Give him some Body Science, brother. Bang.
Sign a new deal. Half of it were in Body Science products. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
MG, the big development over the weekend, as far as rugby league is concerned, we know last week the AFL announced their no vax, no play policy, and we know that Tennis Australia is currently working through how they are planning to accommodate tennis players for next year's Australian Open who aren't vaccinated. They're forging a path forward on that. Andrew Abdo said last week, as far as the NRL is concerned, they will not be implementing a no vax, no play policy. But over the weekend, on Sunday, Danny Widler reports for the Sydney Morning Herald that Luke Thompson, forward for the Bulldogs, has told the club he does not want to be vaccinated.
Yeah, and that's obviously a problem. And I don't think Luke Thompson will be the only one. Apparently, even up in Brisbane, he didn't want to wear masks to games. And so, look, it's going to come down to something that's got to give. We spoke about it on Friday. We spoke about the AFL's policy of no jab, no play. And I think it's going to get to a stage where the NRL will kind of follow the protocols put in place by the governing body, which is obviously the state government. They'll have a really good, hard, long look at what they can and can't do. And at the end of the day, I think players will have to be jabbed to play. I think we're going to hit a crescendo of players who simply won't be picked. You won't be able to play if you haven't got the double vaccination because it's just too dangerous.
We spoke to the RLPA CEO, Clint Newton, today about this very issue. Here's what he had to say about the likely vaccination policy for the game.
We're very much aligned with, you know, the ARL Commission and the NRL about, you know, maintaining that position of non-mandatory vaccines. I mean, we wholeheartedly support the vaccine rollout and encourage our players to get vaccinated. And we'll continue to communicate this message to our playing group. But right now, I think, you know, one of the positives is that we've got a really strong take-up rate with players and we'll continue to work with the NRL clubs and the players that are still working through that process. It's really now for us is about we're being responsible by working with the NRL on establishing a framework and a process for players that relates to their contracts and their employment with clubs.
Full conversation with Clint Newton is available via the Listener app. But MG, this raises the very immediate question, because the Bulldogs have reportedly told all players, if you want to rock up for pre-season November 1, you got to be double vaccinated. Do the Bulldogs have the right to sack Luke Thompson, in your mind, if he is not double vaccinated?
I don't think as yet. No, I don't think as yet, because these contracts that these players signed were way before COVID even came to being the pandemic it is. So you've got to take that into account. You know, no one saw it coming. You've got to have time to, you know, process the whole situation of getting the jab if you really, really are against it. And then you've got to realise if the governing body, the ARL or the NRL say to you that you need it to play, well, then you're in a prickly situation because basically you could throw your career away by objecting. We saw the furor last year when several players didn't want to get a flu shot. You can imagine the furor we're going to see when players don't want to get a double vaccination. So that's not over by a long shot. I would not like to be in Clint Newton's spot at the minute because there's going to be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with players and players' managers and the clubs, etc. I suppose what will happen, Liam, in the end, the NRL will bring out a mandate, and I think that'll be the same as the AFL, that you, no jab, no play.
And this is all, go and listen to the full chat with Clint Newton. This is complicated. This is difficult. It's not, it's very hard to deal with this in terms of black and white. And you look at the NBA, who is now facing a situation where Kyrie Irving, one of the biggest stars in the game, might not be seen this season. Imagine if we got to the start of next year and a top 10 NRL player isn't seen because of a vaccination stance.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Not a matter of if, when.
Revel in the spirit of the Melbourne Cup Carnival October 30 to November 6. VRC.com.au. This is the Rush Hour Melbourne Cup Tipping League.
The horses are on the track.
Still time to sign up and get involved with the Rush Hour Tipping League. It's just like footy tipping. Instead of tipping footy teams, you tip horses, MG. It's that easy.
Yeah, like we did in the Cox Plate last Saturday, which we didn't have much joy, did we?
Yeah. Now, the reason you should get involved is because if you win this tipping comp, like a footy tipping comp, you win $2,000. All you got to do is be able to beat MG and I, and everyone else in the league, obviously. And this weekend, we tried our hand. It hasn't started officially yet, but we had a bit of a test run, a pre-season game, if you will. We tipped the Cox Plate.
Yeah.
Who'd you go with?
I went with Very Elegant, and I think you came, what, third?
Third, I think, yep. I tipped Zaki. And it got scratched.
There you go.
So that's and how
also
we...
I also took our call sign Mav, which is still running.
Oh, still running, yeah. So that's how easy it would be to beat MG and I in this tipping competition. Just head to the Triple M Win page for all the details, or you can sign up directly to the competition at giddyupflemington.com.au. Get involved. And then revel in the spirit of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, which starts this weekend, October 30th, with Victoria Derby Day, MG.
Oh, what a day that is. What a day that is. We were there about five or 6 years ago with our
and you haven't been welcome back.
The grill team. And I think a part of me is still there. My soul.
Melbourne Cup Carnival, October 30th to November 6th, VRC.com.au. Get involved in our horse racing tipping league. We're no good at it, so we need some credibility in the league. Go and sign up, Triple M Win page for details. So Rush Hour with MG Liam, of course, brought to you by Bluebet. Whether it's cross sport, same game, same race multis, you can bet with Bluebet. If you are going to have a bet, do so responsibly. Bluebet is the true blue Aussie bookie. You can bet on the T20 World Cup, MG, and finally, Australia got their campaign underway on the weekend. Did you see the game?
Yeah, I did. It was ugly, but they yeah. won. You got to win ugly in the World Cup, and last year's winners of it, well, they were humbled. The West Indies, they were all up for 55 against England.
Less than 10 overs. The Aussies got it done with two balls to spare against South Africa.
Marcus Stoinis sees Australia home.
Just big Marcus Stoinis guiding us home through the final two overs. I think we needed 18 from the last two overs. And big Stoinis got it done. Well done to Matty Wade as well, friend of the show, down the non-strikers end. But look, bowlers were outstanding, MG. Josh Hazlewood, big Josh, Pat Cummins, Adam Zampa, Mitchell Starc even, he was expensive earlier. But the bowlers performed well, but it was the batting which was concerning because our top order faltered again. Not many runs up the top, was there?
No, Warner, 14, Finch, Duck, Marsh, 11 or something?
11, so, yeah.
But yeah, Smith again, you know, 35, he was solid. The big show, 18, but Stoinis was the man at the end.
Now,
clutch batting.
You've run through the... I'm glad you went through the scores at the top order there because I want to demonstrate Justin Langer, the coach of the Australian cricket team. Sometimes honesty is the best policy. And I don't know if he's being incredibly honest here. This is Justin Langer talking about David Warner's innings where he made 14 runs.
There were some really good sides from Davey Warner yesterday. I think he pulled Rabada for four. He played a beautiful cover drive. He played a great cut shot.
When you're picking out individual strokes from an innings,
you're clutching, and I think that's the sound of a coach to me who has been accused of being too hard on his players.
Yes.
Now he's gone the complete opposite,
yes.
Which is very telling. It's very obvious, JL, that you've never hear a coach picking out individual shots when a bloke gets 14.
I've never heard Wayne Bennett talk like that about one of his players. But you're never. Right, there was all this speculation ahead of this tournament and throughout the year about Justin Langer and the dressing room culture, and it seems like he's trying to flip it. Because have a listen to how he describes... Now, bear in mind, Aaron Finch got out for a duck. He made zero runs. And listen how Finchie describes the performance of his skipper.
Finchie's captaincy was brilliant yesterday. And he's another one that he had knee surgery. It might take a little bit of time for him to get moving. He's working hard in the nets in his preparation. I don't think it's so much of a mental thing for Finchie. I think it's just getting back into some rhythm, getting used to his leg feeling good again.
No, mate.
If his leg's no good, don't pick him.
No.
And he made a duck. Yeah, but wasn't his captaincy great?
Oh, awesome.
Wasn't it fantastic?
Wow. Yeah, look, that's very much, what do they call that? Overcompensating? Overcompensating highly. When your captain gets a duck and you win with two balls to go, you kind of say that the whole team needs a bit of a rev. Because if we want to win this thing, we've got to be better. But that's, look, I suppose that after his recent post on LinkedIn, which he copped a little bit from. He's gone back to the other way around. Maybe put something on Instagram, JL. Hey. You know, a bit more hip hop happening.
JL, whatever it takes to hold up that trophy at the end, I'll be happy. And they get a chance to be better this Friday. They take on Sri Lanka in the second game. MG, almost time for us to get out of here. Tomorrow on the show, Brett Morris is going to join us. But can I take this opportunity before we wrap things up to be a little bit self-indulgent and just say happy wedding anniversary to my beautiful wife, Alana.
You certainly can. Mm. How many years have you and Alana been married?
See, I should know that.
I think
it's seven. It's 7 years. 2014, October 25th, we were married in the Gold Coast hinterland. Beautiful spot.
Well, congratulations, buddy.
And two children later, I'm ready to move out to the farm by myself. The two kids are doing my absolute head in at the moment. I love them all. But yes, happy wedding anniversary to my beautiful wife. To finish off today, MG.
Has MG been paying attention?
Lots of sport over the weekend. I want to see how much of it you were paying attention to, MG. I've got a bit of audio for you. You've got to tell me the sport and the story. Let's start it off with this.
The man is extraordinary. The match is extraordinary. The scoreline is extraordinary.
Oh, that'd have to be Liverpool beating Man U 5-0.
This for Manchester United was impossibly bad. Manchester United 0, Liverpool 5.
It was in the early hours of this morning. The shine of Cristiano Ronaldo returning to Old Trafford has well and truly worn off. This is trouble. This is trouble town.
Yeah, big trouble in Little China as far as that goes because it's he's on his way out. Looks like the gaffer.
Ollie Gunner,
who's basically said we're getting close to where we want to be. Well, mate, I don't think you are.
Long way.
That's on
off.
The back of wasn't it? Was it Chelsea who beat someone
7-0? They defeated Norwich.
And
over the weekend,
just quietly.
No, my we don't team beat talk yours. About the other game.
My team beat yours. West Ham beat the Spurs.
Spurs are not going well at the moment. Look, Liverpool, Man City, and Chelsea. There's your top three for the Premier League this year. It's going to be hard for anyone to get close. Next one, MG. What's the sport? What's the story?
Got to be dirty. Maybe to the purpose, guys.
Oh, it's Formula One.
Yes.
Max Verstappen.
Yep.
Who won in the? Is it the American?
Max Verstappen wins the US Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton has to settle for second.
Yeah, Max Verstappen in the Red Bull won the US Grand Prix this morning. That first bit of audio, that was Ferrari's Carlos Sainz getting a bit salty with our Aussie Dan Ricciardo because he was trying to pass him on the final sort of seven or eight laps and reckons Dan's done the old swerve out.
Good on you, Dan. You're never far from the action, buddy.
He held on.
He came fifth, yeah?
Came fifth, another strong result.
One funny thing that happened with this, Shaquille O'Neal presented the trophy on the dais.
I didn't see it.
And
would have
it was
looked
kind
hilarious.
Of well, it was. The car, have a look if you get a time to go online later. The car that he came in was an amazing car. But then once he gave the trophy over, he basically was at an uncomfortable moment because he stood there and then they started the Dutch national anthem. So he's just going, well, what do I do? So he put his hands in his front. And just stood there, this 7-foot-2 giant with the racers behind him, like going, what do I do?
He's not
fish
exactly inconspicuous. Now I'm really disappointed that Ricciardo didn't win because he would have made Shaq do a shoey. Know he would have. So.
Yeah, Shaq would have obliged.
MG, what's the sport? What's the story?
We're good. We squashed it. There's no need to try to make it bigger than something else.
Yeah, that was the Lakers bench. It was Anthony Davis and who's the other dude? The dude that's been around a bit.
Big center.
Yeah.
Starts with a D. Dwight Howard.
Anthony goes over to Dwight. When Dwight stands up, Anthony puts his hands on him, and that seems to agitate Dwight Howard.
Two very big men getting very familiar with one another on the bench of the Lakers. You don't see that often in basketball.
Well, Magic Johnson's come out and said he's never seen it in the history of the Lakers. So things aren't quite what they seem to be at the Lakers at the moment. They look like they're in a bit of trouble. They got beat by Phoenix, I think, on Saturday or Sunday pretty well. So not started the season that well, the NBA Lakers, who were one of the chances to win the whole thing.
I think they still probably will be. I mean, any team with LeBron James is hard to rule out. Lastly, MG, what is this sport and what is the story?
She's going to need a little bit of medical help with that one, I think.
Goodness me, that's like an uppercut in boxing.
Yeah, we spoke to that young lady on Friday, and that was the Matildas against the Brazilians, 3-1.
The Matildas are back on home soil with a bang. They defeated Brazil by 3-1.
Yes, 3-1. They got it done at Combank Stadium. 15,000 people at Combank Stadium watching sport. How good, MG. And they'll be back there tomorrow night. The second leg of that friendly against the Brazilians happens tomorrow night. Same stadium, 8 o'clock. Channel 10's coverage, Simon Hill, Georgie Yeomandale. Outstanding. Well done to the Matildas. Right, that is us done. Let's get out of here. I've got lots of things planned for my wedding anniversary.
Like what?
Or as much as I've got can plan between now and getting home.
Yeah, so it's 7 years. I think that's something special. You better check that out. It might be a special stone or something, 7 years.
Aren't they all something special? Like isn't there something special, for every
but
year?
There's something. No, I think there's like an emerald or something. I don't know.
An emerald? Have you got an emerald dealer?
You better go downstairs to the jeweler and get an emerald rock.
Get some green frogs. Righto, we've got to get out of here, MG. Say goodbyes.
As always, thank you so much for your ears. Here's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.